This is Welcome Home Radio, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on locally owned KYNO. Brought to you by the Community Housing Council. Now, here's your host, Don Scordino.
Well, good morning. It's time for Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host, and we're now in our 18th year of bringing some really good local information to our listeners and to our community, all about real estate, the needs and in your needs and dreams of real estate, but also things like how to take care of a home, which, by the way, we're going to jump into today with our guests that are here. And that's one of the beauties of this show, is every week we have different guests that bring different viewpoints and some really good advice to help you make good decisions about your housing and your community involvement. And we want to, speaking of community involvement, we want to thank our sponsor, the Community Housing Council of Fresno, for making the show possible and relevant. You know, and I love their name, Community Housing. Man, what a beautiful name to have, because it says it all in those two words. It's actually three words if you include council.
I was waiting for you to say that. I was wondering if you were going to catch up with us, Don.
Today's show might be a good one.
It's going to be a good one.
We got some lively guests here that I'm going to introduce in just a bit. But I want you to know that you can hear the show by going to KYNO 940 AM at the App Store, or you can stream it at www.kynofresno.com, or just turn it to your radio dial to 940 AM. All right. I'm going to introduce today's guests first, then I'm going to take a pause and go to some market stats. First, I want to introduce Fabian Molina. Fabian is the president and CEO of DIY Resource Center. And thank you for being here, Fabian. We also have JD Dominguez, who's the marketing director and co-founder of DIY Resource Center. So, we're going to really get in today to what DIY is and what those resources are. So, Fabian, how long have you been in the business?
Well, Don, good morning. Thank you very much for having us.
Sure.
I've been in the construction industry for about 25 years. So I started off working for a contractor, and I became a licensed general contractor in 2019. And we just opened our business in June 1st of this year.
Excellent. And that business is DIY. Oh, go ahead and tell us, what is DIY Resource Center?
Yes, correct. So, yes, we opened up June 1st our office, our DIY Resource Center. It is we call it a construction information hub. It is a place where homeowners and business owners could come and ask general questions about construction, and where we also offer DIY classes for people who want to learn how to take care of those little things themselves around the house.
All right. Thank you. And we also have here JD Dominguez. How long have you been in this business?
90 days.
90.
That's true. My background's advertising, marketing, branding, communications, media.
That means you're the one who came up with the name?
No, we both did. But as far as like talking about DIY and talking about construction, you know, I've got some background with woodwork and things like that. But as far as getting into these types of things, DIY, helping people with confidence, helping people with their homes, helping people to invest in their home with their time and their talents and their skills, I'm still learning how to do that.
I love the one word you said, and we're going to talk about that, confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You got to have confidence when you do this.
Yes.
And that's something that, I'll tell you, I have struggled with when it comes to taking care of things, maintaining things, fixing things.
Right.
Even confidence is just big in life, too. Yesterday, I was talking to a newer agent, and she said, well, I'm still a little bit shy. I go, I don't think you're shy. I think you lack the big C.
There you go.
Confidence.
Yes. The big C. I like
Boy,
that.
Her eyes lit up. Yep. She goes, yeah. She goes, because I don't know if I know enough. I go, do you know more than the average person on this topic? Yes. Well, then you should have the big C, confidence.
Exactly.
Can I write that? Can I write that down, Don?
Yeah, just the big C. Just the letter C, and then use that in your advertising. You know,
yeah, no, definitely. I think that's something that we definitely promote. That was one of our goals, is to be able to give people that confidence when they're, you know, picking up a tool and they feel a little nervous, you know. Learning a little bit more about the tool, how to handle it, will give you that confidence where you could take on bigger, better, you know, more complicated projects. So confidence is a biggie.
So it's what you're after is, it's, you're not just saying, hey, call us to come fix this.
No.
You're teaching people how to
do it
themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of our classes are very hands-on. We have classes for beginners, intermediate, and then advanced, you know, DIYers. So if you have no knowledge about tools, we have our introduction to power tools and construction materials. That's a great class because it literally teaches you how to hold a drill, how to get a skill saw and use it properly and safely, and then also how to, you know, take on those small repairs that, you know, you could take on yourself.
And I understand that DIY Resource Center, you guys are going to partner up with the Community Housing Council.
Yes.
In September at a workshop.
Yes.
So that is something for our listeners to keep in mind.
Yes.
So it's part of their agenda, as you know, Donna, is equipping homeowners with those skills and that confidence. We're probably going to use that word a lot today, but hey, it is what it is. And so, yeah, Fabian's going to be there September. I believe it's the 12th. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
It's a Saturday, the 12th.
Yeah, he'll be there for about 45 minutes and just kind of, you know, inserting into that program that they already have.
And by the way, that workshop will strategically start after Welcome Home Radio is done.
Okay.
Okay.
So we'll be back on the 12th. We'll do the show again, and then we're going to run over to...
All right.
Yeah.
Good. All right. And... at this class, I mean, the whole purpose of this is, and I'm going to use that word again, to give people the confidence to be a homer. I had a guy one time saying, boy, I don't know if I want to be a homeowner. It's nice just to be able to call the landlord and say, hey, come fix this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, not all landlords can get right out there or... Mm-hmm. Here's a good one. I don't care who you know. If it's 105 degrees out there and you call your air conditioning guy, they're backed up.
Yeah, you're going to be waiting for a while.
Yeah, and it might be something as simple as a breaker pop.
Right, mm-hmm. Yes, the very common thing.
So that's where the first-time homeowner's guide would be a good resource for people. So we've got a class...
Yeah, so we're offering two introduction classes. One is the first-time homeowner's guide, and that's a class that kind of takes you through the process of selecting a house, what to look for, how to understand your inspection report, and how to deal with those issues that you can yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's a great class for people who are either in the market or want to learn how to do the maintenance themselves.
And Don, we have people coming into our classes who are homeowners, have been homeowners for 5, even 10 years, and still don't know the home the way they should or want to. Don't know how to turn off the water, don't know how to turn off the electric if something happens. And so it's called First Time Homeowner's Guide, but it's really for anybody who's still at that point of not knowing how their house works.
Right.
You know who should be attending these classes is realtors.
Well, yes.
One of the best classes I ever took as a realtor was called The Anatomy of a Home. Mm. Oh my gosh. I learned so much about the roof. What to look for.
Yes.
It is so important that everybody knows where the water shutoff valve is, where the electrical panel box is. And going back to that panel box story about confidence, and when I told you that, you know, the air conditioner goes out, it's 105 out there. And even though I knew I was good friends with my air conditioning guy, it still took him 2 or 3 days to get out there because that guy was... He said he was going from 6 a.m. till sunset.
Yeah.
He comes out, looks it over, popped the breaker, And he says, you need to learn a thing or two.
Really?
On.
Wow.
Click.
Yeah. I said, all right, sorry. How much do I owe you for this? He shakes his head. He goes, I can't charge you for not. He goes, all I did was flip a breaker.
Yeah. Yeah. How many times does that happen? How many times have you been out where it's just flipping a breaker?
Yeah.
But don't people get charged? If somebody's not the most, I'm not to say that not everybody out there is like this, but aren't there guys who would charge for something like that?
Yeah, definitely. You call a company and they'll charge you. The fee will come out.
Sure.
How much? What's the cost for that? For this?
It could. I mean, it depends.
$150.
A couple hundred bucks for a company.
And they won't tell you that it was just this little switch thing or whatever it was.
Yeah. Fortunately, I knew this guy really well,
yeah.
And as a realtor, I've referred a lot of business to him, so he was going to take good care of
you. That was the best flip he ever did, the best whatever it was, little switch thing.
All right, so this is great. Besides going to the Community Housing Council's workshop, when do you guys do these classes that you hold?
So right now we've had classes throughout June, and we have a few other classes already on our website. So if anybody's interested, they can go check out our website. It's DIYResourceCenter.com. But we do have, I believe, four classes that we have scheduled already.
Such as, let me just say what those were. So like Building the Perfect Closet, that's a three-day class. First-time homeowner's guide, that's a one-day class. Most of our classes are 1 day, 4 hours. If they go to 2 days, then just times the four times two, and you got 8 hours. And for a three-day class, 12 hours. Most of our classes are one-day classes. First-time homeowner's guide, that's the one that Fabian just talked about. That's a great class, Don, a great class. Electrical outlets, light fixtures, and switches. These are our July classes, by the way. So that's a two-day class where electrical outlets, light fixtures, switches. What's somebody going to learn there?
Yeah, so that's the type of class where we're going to be able to teach people how to do replacing of, you know, broken outlets, switches, replace it for a different, newer style of switch, how to replace a light fixture that might need replacing. And also we're going to give people the power of knowledge to be able to run a new light to a new, I don't know, a closet or a small room that you might have. So just different things that have to do with electrical and how to do those things yourself.
How much do these classes cost?
So for a one-day class, it's $250. For our two-day classes is $450, and for the three-day classes they're $600. And all these classes are, again, they're hands-on, where we're going to use real materials. We have a working classroom where we're able to create walls, take them down, install drywall, install electrical conduit and piping. So a lot of these classes are, again, very involved and use real materials that we use commonly in the industry.
You need to come down one of these days and check out the place. It's an organic classroom, so just like Fabian's, we shape it and mold it, you know, for the classes that we're doing. So that 1 3-day class that we're talking about is flooring, tile, and engineered floor. So that's a kind of a longer class, and there are some things that you should know prior to jumping into that class. But we have that, again, just like Fabian said, all on our website. And then, of course, our most popular class that it seems like so far is Introduction to Power Tools.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, and a lot of ladies are looking for that class. And now we have a ladies-only class with Introduction to Power Tools.
All right. With that, we do have to go to our first commercial break. But stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio, 940 KYNO. Welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host. Here in the studio with us, we have the two co-founders of DIY Resource Center, and that would be J.D. Dominguez and Fabian Molina. And, you know, in the first segment, we talked about what DIY was, the Resource Center is, and what you do. I don't think we ever spelled it out. What does DIY stand for?
Do it yourself.
All right.
That was too easy, Don.
Yeah.
That was a setup, wasn't it?
I was trying to see if I could trip you up, but I couldn't.
Some people are not aware. So that's a good question, actually. Yeah. What is do-it-yourself? Mm-hmm. I guess that's kind of an objective question, right?
Could I call somebody up
and schedule somebody? Am I doing it myself? Well, kind of, sort of. But what is do-it-yourself? That's actually a good thing to talk about. What would you say, Fabian? What's do-it-yourself?
It's having the confidence to be able to take on those small projects at home and around the office and, you know, at work.
There goes that word again, confidence.
We like that word.
Yeah. In fact, that's the perfect setup for us to take a little detour here, because I wanted to go into market stats.
Yeah.
But we had plenty to talk about in the first segment.
Sure.
So here come the market stats now. And the key thing I want you to remember, our listeners to remember, is confidence, mm-hmm. not so much the numbers. So if you take the first 6 months of the residential sales in Fresno County and compare it to the first 6 months of the year prior, there's not a lot of change. So despite what you might read on social media, here on social media, the number of sales actually increased by a whopping number of about 100. So, yeah, went from 2983 to 3073.
And you said that's in 6 months?
Yeah, for the first six months of this year. So we're very consistent there.
Sure.
3,000 new homeowners in Fresno County experiencing the American dream of home ownership. So of those 3,000 new homeowners, now, and some of them are repeat buyers,
mm-hmm. right.
but a good percentage are first-time home buyers.
Right.
I'll bet they could use some DIY training.
Definitely.
Yeah. Here's another thing, too. When, people lack confidence that, the market's going to crash, or, it's a bad time to buy. Well, there is about not quite $1,000 worth of difference between 2025 and 2026. Mm. Yes, it went down about $1,000, but that's out of $430,000.
Right.
So
very small.
Yeah. So not much there. And I'm going to tell you that more than likely, I think the biggest problem in the residential sales right now is not the number of sales or prices or loans. It's confidence in right. fixing things. So people do home inspections and get scared.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my gosh, something's past its expected economic lifespan. I was going over one with a young buyer, first-time buyer, and the inspection said the water heater was past its expected economic lifespan. Mm-hmm. It said that the oven was past its, all that. I told her, wow, looks like you're going to have to get a new realtor, because I'm past my expected economic lifespan. She laughed, and she bought the home as is. Man, and if everybody could have the confidence that right. she had as a 23-year-old person buying that home, we'd all be doing great.
Yeah.
Can I say something right here, Don? Confidence really doesn't have anything to do with ability. So what we find is when people come into the DIY Resource Center to take a class, it's just simply that they haven't been taught how to do something. It's not because they can't do it. They haven't been shown how to do it. So when somebody comes into DIYRC, we're not judging them, we're showing them.
Correct.
Okay, that's good. And you know, earlier in the first segment when we talked about the cost of a four-hour class is about the same as 1 hour of a general contractor coming out
yes.
to do something.
Yes.
So the difference is after 1 hour, the contractor's out of there.
Yeah.
But if you take the class, I'm assuming, unless you're like me, you're going to remember it. and it'll live with you for a while.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we want to teach people skills for life. Some of these things you're gonna, you know, you're gonna take on to other projects you're doing around the house. So learning how to use a drill properly will serve you for a long time. Something, you know, learning how to use a skill saw properly will again be a lifelong skill that you could carry on and, you know, hopefully pass it on to your children as well. That's, you know, that's something that should be kept going, and like I said, that's why we created the DIY Resource Center.
Mm-hmm. One other thing though, Don, is confidence is transferable. Yeah. So if you learn how to handle a power tool, and if then you have the confidence maybe to take that somewhere else, maybe with the electrical panel or with the plumbing. So we're finding that confidence can grow into other areas of your home.
Yeah. All right. Key question, because I know some of our listeners are thinking this right now. Where does that confidence stop and the good sense to call a contractor come into play?
Great question.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that we also want to, you know, show and teach our participants is there is a limit to what a homeowner can and should do. Obviously, contractors are there because they're licensed and they have skills that are not common to most places. So yes, we want to teach people how to look at their project and do a little bit of an assessment on what they feel confident and you know, that they could do themselves. We don't want people opening up walls and trying to DIY major electrical issues, major plumbing issues. Mm-hmm. So we are a resource where homeowners could come in and ask that question. Hey, I want to take on a small project. I'm going to do this portion of it. We would teach them or tell them, okay, there's a limit. At this point, you should probably call a licensed plumber, electrician, or someone else that has more skills than yourself.
But think about this real quick, Don. What he just said is still, if you don't know what that limit is, what is that line, you're still not going to have the confidence that when you call somebody into the house that you're that they're, you know, they're there for your best interest. So being just what Fabian said, being able to know when I can do it myself and when I know for a fact that I can't do this myself. It's not just that I haven't done this myself. Can I even learn how to do this myself? When you can get to that point and you know exactly what you can do and exactly what you can't do, that's the confidence we're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Boy, that word confidence keeps coming up. So, but that's good because really that is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Back when I had that air conditioning issue, that's what I lacked was the confidence to think it through and say, well, let me start at the source.
Right.
And follow that electricity. And maybe, so I didn't start at the electrical panel box. I didn't even start. I started at the phone.
Right.
You know, hey, come and help me. Sure, I'll wait 3 days.
Right.
Good confidence, I should have the good sense. Like
yes.
If I followed that through and said, okay, now this is getting into the air compressor.
Right. You don't want to open up anything that you don't feel like you can fix yourself.
Or finish. How many people have started jobs weeks, months later, they're still there.
They get stuck on something.
Get stuck. And then pride comes in.
Yeah.
You don't want to call somebody. You're the man of the house, right? And you're supposed to know how to fix this. And so it just sits there.
Yeah, so if you kind of plan ahead and look at your project, assess it, and then get some help from us. I mean, come to the office, ask those questions, then you'll be able to kind of know where that limit is.
Or the lady of the house, Don, because now we're seeing, again, like we mentioned, we're seeing a lot of ladies who are becoming more and more interested in the DIY movement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. And you mentioned coming into the office, so
yeah.
People can come in there and just ask you questions?
Yeah, our office is open to the public. We have a self-help area where is basically we have a lot of construction materials, display of, you know, types of pipes you're commonly seeing in your house, the way the structure is kind of framed. So a lot of things that people could just come in and just ask questions. We have absolutely no limit on what we could, you know, assist you with. Like I said, if you're looking for classes, great. But if you're only looking for just a little bit of guidance and information, our doors are open to the public to come in. And we've had several people come in with minor questions, mm-hmm. where all we did is give them a little bit of direction, and they were like, the light turned on, and like the guy for the AC, right? So mm-hmm. a gentleman for the AC mm-hmm. came in, I gave him some information, and like his light bulb just turned sure. on. It's like, oh, cool. Now I know what to do. So again, just a little bit of guidance makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
And so our doors are open to anyone who has any type of
absolutely.
Construction questions whatsoever.
So someone can just walk in,
yeah.
Eight to five?
Yeah, we're open 8 to 4, Monday through Saturday. And again, our classes are throughout the week. Mm-hmm. Some of them are late classes, but our doors are open 8 through 4 mm-hmm. throughout the week.
And where's your office at?
It is at 3038 Tulare Street here in Fresno, 93721. We're right down the street from City Hall in downtown Fresno.
Right next to the IHOP.
Oh,
on 41 and Tulare. You know that place, don't you?
Yes, people know where the IHOP is. I don't know if they know where City Hall is.
Yeah, right.
Everybody knows IHOP. Nobody knows City Hall.
That's right.
That's the way it should be.
Hey, that's where the free parking is.
Right.
Okay. With that, we're going to our next commercial break, but stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio. We're going to have some good tips coming up for you in this next segment. Thank you.
I'm proud of the house we built. It's stronger than sticks, stones, and steel. It's not a big place sitting up high on some hill.
Well, welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. I got to hand it to Bobby Thistle, our board operator. He seems to know what's going through my mind before we don't even talk. So the intro music he just put on there was, I'm proud of the home we built.
Oh, no.
And I was about to come in with, I'm proud of the home we maintained.
There we go.
So, perfect. All right.
John Bobby.
You know, the scary thing is somebody's inside my head knowing what I'm thinking about.
That's a song. That's a Pink Floyd song, I think, or something like that.
All right.
Is it?
I don't know. I'm not that old. Pink Floyd. Okay. So, whether you own the home, you rent the home, or you share a home, any of those... Mm-hmm. You got to have some pride in maintaining mm-hmm. your home.
Yes.
And I'm going to start with and ask you guys some tips. Let's start with the outside of the home. Let's say after the show's over, don't do it before 10 o'clock. So stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio. Then go take a walk around the home,
yes.
your home. What should somebody be looking for?
Well, you want to look at the home, the outside of your home. If you have stucco or siding, make sure that you don't have major cracking throughout your stucco or separation on your joints at your windows, places where water's gonna, you know, start to come into the structure of the house. So you wanna always try to keep an eye out for those type of things. Also, you wanna look at your walkways, whether they're raised, they're broken, mm-hmm. there might be a tripping hazard. Whether you have foundation damage from sitting water, where you might have broken sprinklers, or making sure that your rain gutters are working, your drainage is working as well. So yeah, it's always a good idea to take a look around your house, pay attention to the small little details that you might not see every day, and then that way you could do, you know, repairs and fixes on something that might cause a larger problem later on down the road.
And I recently saw one where the people called up and said, hey, our enclosed patio just flooded.
Oh,
and I went over to take a look at it and see what the problem was. As soon as I walked up, the gutters were packed mm-hmm. full of
right.
leaves and debris.
Right.
And so there wasn't that drainage.
Right. And that's very common. That's a very common issue here in these houses. The Fresno area, we have a lot of trees. We have a lot of just dust that collects on your roof. Whenever it rains, it washes it down right into the gutter, builds up, and then eventually it'll stop working, cause damages to the fascia board and also to the foundation if it doesn't drain properly.
I did the same thing last year. exactly what you guys were talking about. I went up there and there was buckets of mud that I removed from my gutters. Buckets of mud.
Yeah.
And another thing, don't do it when it's wet and heavy. That's one thing I learned, right, Fabian? Don't do it when it's wet and heavy. It just gets, it's so much harder.
That's how you learn that tip. You did it when it was
a little muddy.
All right. Going back to those stucco cracks, how, because I've seen a lot of houses in my career, and almost every house has stucco cracks.
Yes.
And that could be from just typical settling,
right?
Or it could be structural. Mm-hmm. How do you tell the difference, and what can you do? Because you brought up a good point. You don't want moisture going inside.
Yeah.
How do you prevent that?
Well, that is that's kind of the biggie on that is you have to assess the type of cracks. Like you said, some of them they just happen naturally, just because the house is settled over time. But those you'll be able to tell the difference on the size and the how those cracks go throughout the house. If it's just a small crack, typically that would probably be something that your stucco is already settled, something moved. But if you see larger cracks with a larger gap, that means that a larger part of your house is settling and you might have something going on major. What you could do is you could use a type of elastomeric caulking or flexible caulking to seal those cracks that are minor. That way you can prevent that water from starting to seep into the concrete, into the back of the stucco, and then causing more damage. So if you're able to minimize that by sealing those cracks, and then if you have a major crack, then I would suggest looking at it in detail or asking someone, a professional, to actually look at it, see whether that's going to be a foundation problem. Those type of problems, you might have to look for a different solution. You could always caulk it and seal it temporarily to prevent that water. But if it's large enough, you should get some professional to look at it.
Let me go one step further, Don. Just like Fabian talked about earlier, the guy who walked in who had an AC issue, we pulled it up on our big AI-generated whiteboard. We were able to look at the problem, give them a solution. So your listeners could take a video and shoot us an email. Mm-hmm. We'll pull it up on our big board, take a look, and we'll get back to them.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the email address?
It's JD@DIY Resource Center. Just send an email, send a text, whatever it is. Call us up. It doesn't matter. We're here to help you.
Those are the type of questions, like I said, our office is there for. It's just to give people a little bit of guidance. You know, if that's their issue that they're having, is they're seeing something and they just don't understand it and they don't know who to call. Obviously, our doors are open for those type of things. And we do encourage people, if you show up to our office and you want to talk about something going on in your house, we recommend that you take photos and videos. That way we could take a look at it better and then give you that advice.
By the way, I do want to bring up one of the best ones I ever heard from a home inspector. It was a general contractor, and there was a buyer there, and they were really worried about this crack in the stucco. And he said, well, first of all, it's not structural because the teeth are still lined up. And it's only like an eighth of an inch. And he said, and after 43 years of this home being here, if that's as much as it's cracked, I think you'll be good.
Right. Yeah.
So he was good about keeping them settled.
Right. Yeah, because some of these things, again, they happen, you know, often in the construction industry. So we see these a lot. And again, we don't want to scare people, but there are times where, you know, it could be something major, but most of the time it's some minor things that you could take care of yourself.
And again, this goes back to our first time homeowners guide class. That's the class that was put together for just this situation. Mm-hmm. Learning your house from top to bottom, left to right, back to front.
The anatomy of a home.
The anatomy of a home.
That's very important. I like the way you mentioned that, because that's, we want to be able to teach people about the building systems that your house is made up of. So a lot of people just don't understand that. And that's, you know, looking at a broader, you know, picture of your home, you should know those systems and how they work together.
And Don, just like the body, the hip bone's connected to the thigh bone's connected to the knee bone. The same thing with the house.
They all work. Yeah, they all work together.
I mean, they all work together.
Yeah. So here's another one I learned from personal experience. And I had I lacked the big C, the confidence to figure it out.
You hadn't taken a class yet at DIY Resource Center. That's the problem.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to take care of that, though.
All right. So I heard something up in the attic. It was critters.
Oh. All
right. And I called. My first thought is I better call a pest control company, which I did. And the guy came out, and it turned out it wasn't so much pest control. It was I lacked that confidence to walk around my house and see what red flags stuck out, like the pomegranate tree branch that was sitting on top of the roof.
Scratching the roof.
Yeah. And
a little bridge.
Yeah, and those open pomegranates that the squirrels were feasting on. Mm. Now, I did tell my wife they were squirrels. I didn't tell her I thought they might be rats.
Yeah, you know.
See,
smart man.
Yeah. So I have the confidence in my articulation.
that's another set of confidence right there. That's another issue.
All right. But tree branches sitting on a roof is an issue.
Yes.
And you know who's really bringing that to light now are the insurance companies.
Yes.
If they see that, they may tell you, we're not going to renew you because that's a potential fire hazard too. Here's one I saw is somebody wanted to sell a home and they said, oh yeah, we just put a new roof on 10 years ago. So, you know, the roof should be good.
Yeah.
But one part of the roof in kind of a semicircle on the side of the house was just, I don't want to say rotted out, but it was worn out.
Right.
Well, sure, I saw a tree stump there. Mm. They had taken down a tree. That tells me that they probably never took the leaves off the roof.
So they just sat there and disintegrated that roof. Yeah.
So things like that, just walking around your home, keeping your eyes open, you can see things.
Yeah.
Now, especially if you're in an older neighborhood, right, with lots of big trees, lots of, you know, opportunity for those types of things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're seeing a lot of people who are coming in to the DIY Resource Center who are living in older homes.
Yeah.
That seems to be a lot of the individuals that we're talking with right now.
All right. And that's because the newer homes don't have big enough trees yet.
Yeah, they're still growing.
All right. What else can people see as they walk around their house? Maybe moisture issues?
I mean, you got to keep an eye out for moisture, definitely. You got to keep an eye out for, like you were mentioning, any type of opening on the outside of your house that will let any critters go into your attic or underneath your house. If you have a raised foundation, you want to make sure that your vents are all in place because that's where, you know, animals will typically get into. You just want to take a look at things, again, that are going to be sitting there causing more damage. And one of the biggest is, you know, standing water. Standing water. Looking at the wood outside of your house, if it's already damaged, dry rotted, or you need to seal it. There's a lot of different things that you could find around your house, but again, it's just a matter of kind of paying attention to those small details that you might not be looking for, you know, as you're just living in your home.
Are older homes more susceptible to those types of things, Fabian, than newer homes?
Not necessarily, depending on the areas that they're built or the neighborhoods. Older homes, obviously, they're just been sitting there longer, but, you know, an ongoing problem can start anywhere, really.
Here's one I've seen a lot of, and this happens more in older homes because the older homes have wood subfloors.
Yeah.
And the vent screens that let the subfloor breathe.
Yes.
Maybe they get punched out.
Yes.
And so now you got critters going in there.
Mm-hmm.
You might say, oh, well, who would have punched it out? You'd
Cats.
Be amazed. Yeah.
I'm seeing it happen across the street.
Okay.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Well, but a lot of times it's the homeowner or the occupant that does it themselves so they can run cable wire.
Yeah. And to some of the materials that were used before, like I've seen older homes where it's a wooden frame with just a mesh. Well, after time, that wooden frame disintegrates and just falls right off. Some of them were just metal that were glued on there. Those will typically last a little longer, but if they begin to rust and disintegrate again, they'll just fall apart in place. Mm-hmm. So it could be a lot of different reasons for those things to happen, but again, it's a good idea to take a look around in detail, to make sure that you're catching some of those things for your home.
Well, that's a good point. My neighbor across the street, she's in her late 80s. She's been in that house since 1968. And just what you talked about, those screens, those vent screens were punched out, and she had a whole bunch of critters move in there. She doesn't really even know that they were there. I had to bring it up to her. But part of what we're thinking about, Don, eventually, is community outreach. And yeah. And how can we help even the older yeah. homeowners who can't get out there, who can't take those visual inspections, can't really even walk outside without endangering themselves? How can we help them? How can we help to beautify their house to make it safe and to make it free of those critters setting up shop underneath their house?
So, let me take a guess. Maybe be neighborly like you were.
Yeah.
Help out your neighbor.
Absolutely. So that's what we're looking to do as well. So we're going to start getting neighborly. We haven't put that plan in place together yet, but those are the things that Fabian and I are definitely thinking about.
Yeah.
And that's part of being a community.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where we help look out for one another.
Correct.
Help beautify the neighborhood. That's important. I see that a lot in my position as a residential real estate broker. Maybe property values being diminished yes. because the neighbors aren't taking good care of their home, or they don't have that pride. So we'll have to figure out a way to extend that pride in a community.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we're looking for ways to be able to do that. As Fabian mentioned, we just opened up last month. So if any of your listeners have ideas, we're looking for grant opportunities as well. If we can land a grant, we can go out, we can help those types of elderly homeowners. I have a heart for the elderly. I know Fabian does too. So that's one of the things that we're thinking about. We're still looking for help. Mm-hmm. So we're still at a place where we're open to ideas, we're looking for help, we're looking for grants and those types of things to help us get out into the community and do those types of things.
Yeah, give back to the community.
All right, it is time for our next commercial break, but stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio because we're going to take a walk inside the home and see what to look for. Thank you.
Country roads, take me home to the place.
Well, welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host, and I want to thank the Community Housing Council who played a big role in setting up today's radio show by getting our guests in here from DIY Resource Center. And that would be Fabian Molina and JD Dominguez, who have been great guests so far. Let's see if you can finish strong.
Let's do it.
The pressure's on now, Don.
Yes, it is. All right. All right, so we've walked around the outside of the house and what to look for. What about walking inside the house, the interior? What do we look for to keep that home good, safe, and well-maintained, and something we can be proud of?
Well, one of the things you could do in order to keep critters on the outside is making sure that you don't have any large holes or cracks around your house. Most commonly, you'll find a lot of these type of openings or holes underneath your sinks, where the pipes come out of the walls, where you might have a cabinet that has a gap where you'll have some type of critter go in there and make a hole. So you also want to take a look around your baseboards, around your closets, because that's mostly where you'll find that critters like to go to those corners, begin making holes, and then making themselves at home. So you want to make sure you patch those. Any cracks around your door, underneath your door jamb, you also want to make sure that you have a threshold that is wide enough and big enough to cover those gaps, because that's where you'll be able to see not only mice, but also roaches and other animals that could fit through those gaps. Also, keeping an eye out for your AC system, changing out filters, that'll help you take care of your air, the quality of your air in your home.
Save some money.
Save some money, exactly. The other reason to make sure that there's no large cracks around your doors and windows is because you're going to have a lot of that cool air escape throughout the time you're using it, making your AC less efficient. So those are the kind of things you want to keep an eye out, and that'll save you some money in the long run by being able to keep, you know, that nice cool air inside your house and not letting it escape.
And doing those things with a flashlight.
Ah.
You know, from a practical standpoint, when you're looking in the corners, you're looking behind things, have a flashlight, a nice, small, powerful flashlight. It definitely help.
And you know why that'll help? It helps with focus. Mm. It makes you look at that particular
right.
area.
Mm-hmm. Rather than the whole.
Right. And speaking of psychological things like focus, I also want to talk about perspective. Oftentimes I've seen people say, oh my gosh, this home has mice, or it has roaches or bugs or mm-hmm. critters. Wrong perspective. Because those guys, whether they be mice or squirrels or whatever, they live out
right.
there.
Right.
Just like the bears live out in the forest. Your job is keep your campground clean
right.
so that those bears don't have a reason to come in here.
Right.
So if you have the perspective that, hey, those guys have a right to life too.
Sure.
Those roaches.
Yes.
But let them live right. over in that tree. Or
you live over there, I'll live here.
Exactly. Yeah. So, don't invite them in with that old greasy hamburger from yesterday
right.
out on the countertop.
Right, right. You want to make sure you don't give them a reason to hang around.
Right.
What else on the inside, Fabian? Anything else that we didn't cover that somebody could look at today? That's what I'd like to give your audience, listeners. What can they do today that they haven't thought of? Give them one tip that they could do today that they probably haven't thought of that could pay off big time. What's one thing?
Maintaining the drains in your kitchen is a big thing. That always seems to be kind of a headache for a lot of people. And that just, if you're the type of person who likes to cook a lot and you forget that you shouldn't throw grease in your sink, it's going to build up over time and just give you headaches. So one of the things that people could, I think, start doing is, if you have that problem, is you could begin to start using hot water with a little bit of a declogging liquid that you'll find at a big box store or something. But doing that periodically and starting to do it will help you eliminate some of the grease that's in your pipes. And also remember not to throw in any grease in there. Always put it in a little container and throw it in your trash, because it'll save you from those headaches later on where you have to call a plumber to, clean out your pipes in your kitchen. So that's something that people could probably take on themselves, and it's not something that's very involved.
Fabian, let me ask you this, because this is something that I've dealt with. Is the garbage disposal meant for lots of food?
No, you typically want to minimize that as well. You don't want to put large bones in there, large objects. You want to keep it to just small scraps that you'll have, after you finish dinner. But you want to keep that to a minimal. And also, there's some maintenance you could do. There are some cleaning products you could throw in your disposal to keep it, a little bit longer.
So the garbage disposal is not a garbage can. That's
it's
one
not
thing.
An order.
Yeah.
It is like not that. A garbage can. That's yes, it is only meant to, small debris to make your system work properly.
And one thing I learned, pasta is meant to be eaten, not put into the garbage
right.
disposal. Because
it hardens up.
Yeah, and it expands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that you shouldn't throw in there, but we do. We just do. And so, again, those are the things that you have to keep aware. And then, like I said, give it a little bit of a flush every now and again.
And then know where the reset button is.
Yeah.
All right, back to your story earlier.
Yeah.
How many people have called in somebody and it was just a reset?
A little push button.
Good
so
one.
Maybe we can put a video together, because we have a thing called Fabian's Friday Fix, where we send out videos, Fridays. You can tune into our TikTok and our Instagram and
media.
Facebook, our social media. So maybe that could be our next Fabian's Friday Fix, is the garbage disposal. Is that kind of a point where a lot of people have an issue?
Yeah, a lot of people do have kind of issues with plumbing in their kitchens.
Another thing, too, not only know where the reset button is on the garbage disposal, but know where your water shutoff
is.
And your gas shutoff is.
Yes.
Hey, we only have 2 minutes left in the show. What do you want our listeners to remember most about today's show? You each get 50 seconds.
Well, we just want people to remember that we are now open for business. And again, this resource center was created for people who are just wanting that extra little bit of guidance and knowledge to be able to do things themselves. So our doors are open to the public. We're going to have a lot of classes going on and hopefully a lot of community events. So, yeah, we just want people to know that we're here and we're here to help them, you know, go through the process of renovations and construction.
Thank you, Fabian. How about you, JD?
Good point there. Yes, we are open, and we do want people to come in, see the place, drop in. And then I want to go back to that word that we talked about, competence. I'm going to end it with that because confidence is good, but confidence saves. Confidence saves you money. Confidence saves you time, and confidence saves you stress. And confidence is just a matter of doing. And that's why we're a hands-on training center. It's not just classroom. It's not YouTube videos. It's hands-on. We have a working classroom. We want people to come in and see this working classroom and take a class and gain that confidence that'll help you save time, save stress, and save headaches, and save everything else that goes along with not knowing how to do it yourself.
All right. I thank you, and especially for bringing up the word confidence again.
I think we said it 37 times today.
Well, thank you to all our listeners for tuning in to Welcome Home Radio. We'll be back again next Saturday from 9 to 10 with more information for you to help with the community and your homes. Thank you.